Well, I find it hard to believe that in just 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, Christmas will be here. And as a consequence there, I want to talk about here a very familiar figure from the Nativity story. A person that we don't hear very often, but if we look at some very scriptures that were very common to us in the scriptures, we're going to look at an individual right here that God specifically selected. And when it came time for God to choose a man to be the human father of Jesus, God chose the man Joseph. He's one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. He's often overlooked by people, and other than a brief mention at Christmas time. But he may have been an ordinary person, but when God chose him, God's sight, he was a special person, an extraordinary person. You know, Jesus lived in Joseph's household for nearly 30 years. And through all his childhood and teenage years, during that time, Jesus was preparing for a ministry that wouldn't last 3 years, but would change the course of human history. But the interesting thing is, when you read about Joseph, the Bible doesn't record a single word that Joseph spoke. Not a word that he wrote was ever written down. Virtually everybody in the Christmas story is quoted in the Bible in the Nativity stories except for Joseph. You know, we hear the words of the angels, the words of the shepherds, the words of Mary, even words of King Herod, words of the wise men, but we don't hear anything from Joseph. You know, in our Christmas carols, as we sing, think of the Christmas carols we sing. We sing Christmas carols about the baby Jesus, Mary, the wise men, even the town of Bethlehem, even the star. But we don't sing Christmas carols about Joseph. You know, it's an interesting thing right there is we may not mention much about Joseph, but God thought a lot about Joseph. Think of all the men in the world at that time, and God specifically chose Joseph to be the man that he wanted to be the earthly father of Jesus and to raise him up through his years until his ministry started. Well, through these scriptures right here, we can see a lot of things about Joseph, but I think the one thing we see in the scriptures is that he was a faithful man, faithful in everything he did. And that's my note right here, Joseph, the faithful father, faithful earthly father of Jesus. You know, we get a little glimpses in the scriptures right here of Joseph and his character, and that's what I would like to look at tonight. We're maybe using scriptures that are very common and used at this time of the year and you're very familiar with, but I want to look at it through a different lens. Well, look at a lens as to what the scriptures is teaching us and what we're learning about the character of Joseph. I mean, the first thing we see there is Joseph is shown faithful by his character. You know, other than a very brief mention of Joseph and the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew's account in chapter 1, the first time we see Joseph in the scriptures is shortly after Mary is discovered to be pregnant while still unwed. At this time right here, it doesn't appear like anybody believed Mary. Even Joseph had questions. And we find here that God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream to tell Joseph to go ahead and not be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because the baby inside of her was given to her by the Holy Spirit. Let's pick up here in the verses that you're very familiar with. It's in Matthew's account right here, in chapter 1, starting at verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered that they came together, before they came together, that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. And then jumping down to verse 24, when Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. You'll see right there, when the angel spoke to Joseph, there was no hesitation, no procrastination, no delay. delay in Joseph responding to what the angel told him to do. The scriptures implied that he immediately did what the angel said. We also see not only did he do it immediately, he did not question what the angel told him to do. If you remember back in the Old Testament days, when God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, Moses hesitated. Moses had lots of questions. He questioned whether he was the right man for the job. Going ahead a number of years, you see the story of Gideon in the Bible. God approached Gideon and said that he was supposed to rise up to be a leader and lead the Israelite armies to fight against the Midianites and conquer them. Just like Moses, Gideon was afraid, had lots of questions. But we see something different in the life of Joseph right here, in his character. God told him what to do. He believed it, and he did it. That's one of the reasons he's a special man that God wanted. In verse 24, just says very clearly, he says, after the angel finished talking to him, he says he got up. Implies he got up almost immediately. It says he did as the angel commanded him. And lastly, and he married Mary. But I want to really key in a few things in these verses right here to see about his character. The first thing is, it comes in verse 19. Now God, through the Holy Spirit, impressed upon Matthew what to write in this account right here. And I want to notice that Matthew describes Joseph with a single word, righteous. You know, if you were to think about what would people describe you as if they were to pick one word to describe your life, what word do you think would come to people's mind? I hope for each one of us would be righteous, but you know, that is not what usually comes to mind. We think about our friends and neighbors, and you had to describe them in one word. What might it be? I don't know. But in the scriptures right here, Joseph's description was righteous. That speaks volumes about the character of this man. The second thing you see right here comes in verse 19 right here. We see he was a merciful man. And why do I say that? The Old Testament scriptures in Leviticus there says that if you're engaged to be a woman and you're not married yet and discovers she's pregnant, the law says she can be stoned to death. There was no indication that he even considered doing that. In fact, it even goes the other extreme. He says he didn't even want to cause her embarrassment or humiliation. He was going to silently and quietly divorce her to minimize the amount of shame that appeared upon her for being pregnant. And that speaks another volumes about his character. He's also very open-minded. You look at the next verse right there. He says he pondered these things in his mind. He wasn't closed-minded. He didn't understand what was happening, but he didn't jump to any conclusions. He was open to the leading of God. And because he was open, God sent an angel to talk to him. What do we see when the angel did that? The next thing we see in his life is there we see he was obedient. As we said earlier, he responded immediately. He did exactly as he was told. No questions asked. He was also a humble man, we can see there, because he agreed to go ahead and marry Mary as was planned, knowing that when he did that, the whole community around him and his family and everybody would assume that he was the actual earthly father of Mary. His reputation, his status in the community would be greatly harmed. But because God told him to go ahead and do it, he went ahead and did it, in spite of the fact that he would suffer consequences as well by doing that. You know, we see in the last verse I read there, verse 25, he said he didn't know Mary intimately until after Jesus was born. That takes a lot of self-control. But Joseph here knew that there would be some questions about Jesus' parentage and his lineage if he didn't have self-control. That speaks the wonders of him too. Wisdom in his part. You know, we see a lot about that Joseph is showing faithful by his character. But I think we can also see in the scriptures that Joseph is showing faithful by his care and concern. Because we see that in Luke's description of the nativity story, in Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 4 right there, it says, "And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in a cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them at the inn. And then jumping down to verse 15, passing over the storyline where the shepherds were greeted by the angel, it says, "And when the angels had left them," meaning the shepherds, "and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough." You know, you look at these verses right here and you say, where's Joseph? He's hardly mentioned in these particular verses right here. But we do see some things in his life. We find that he was a law-abiding citizen. When Rome dictated that everybody was to go to their hometown or ancestral hometown to register, we see Joseph faithfully went ahead and did what the law required. He had no questions. He didn't argue about it, as far as the scripture shows. He followed the laws of the day. He was also a resourceful man. I think Joseph, you can assume, when he arrived in Bethlehem, he assumed that he could find a place for Mary, seeing that she was in her ninth month of pregnancy. He assumed he could find a room or an inn or something, but when he arrived, there was none. But that didn't stop him. He looked to find the most acceptable place he could find. Even though it was in the stable, he found a place where Mary could be inside, out, protected from the weather, protected from wild animals or robbers or whatever else might be. But he did the best he can with what he had. That's a resourceful person. That's also a caring person. Because you notice when the shepherds arrived, where was Joseph? It says he was standing right there with Mary and the baby. I assume he was there tending and caring for them as a loving, caring, tender husband should be. You know, we can see a lot into the man just by what he did, even though we don't have the words he said. We don't know the time frame when this occurred, but we know that wise men from the east arrived looking for the Messiah. Depending upon where they started from, the scripture doesn't say, they're just from the east. It would be anywhere between 500 and 800 miles that they had to travel. So it would take them considerably longer for them to arrive than the shepherds. Unlikely they'd be there in the same night. But we find right here is, in this story where the wise men arrive, where's Joseph? Once again, he's standing in the background in a supportive role. This story right here picks up in Matthew chapter 2. We pick up in verse 10, and it starts out and says, "And when they saw the star," we're talking about the wise men from the east, "and when the wise men saw the star," it says, "they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." You notice in the story of the wise men coming, Joseph's name's not even mentioned in Matthew's account right here. He's playing a supporting role. He's not trying to take the front spotlight. Jesus is the main character in the story, and Mary. He's being the supportive of them, as it should be. Jesus is the most important. And he wants the attention to go to where it should go, which is to Jesus. We also see right here, it's implied, it was out there, that he's taking care of his family. When we saw earlier, when the shepherds were there, the best he could find for them that night in the last minute was a shelter and a stable. At this point, when the wise men come, Joseph has been resourceful enough somehow to have already found a house for them to live in. So they're living in a house now. And probably, although scripture doesn't say, probably supporting him through his skills of being a carpenter and providing for his family. That's a caring, concerning husband that takes care of his family. We don't give him a lot of details right there, but we do know that very shortly thereafter, maybe even that very same evening, God sends an angel to Joseph again. The second time God sends an angel to him to speak to him. We pick this up a couple of verses later in Matthew's account, chapter 2, verses 13. "After they were gone, the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Get up. take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. You see, just like the first time that God sent an angel to speak to Joseph, we see that he immediately obeyed what he was instructed to do. Once again, no delay, no hesitation, just immediate response, doing what he was told to do. And once again, no questioning, not asking why or anything, just God said do it, so you do it. And not only did he did it, it says he did it exactly as he was told to do. That says wonders about that too. Not halfway, doing it halfway or partially, but doing it exactly. God told him to go to Egypt. So what did he do? He went to Egypt. And God didn't tell him how long he's going to be in Egypt. But God told him to stay there until he tells him it's time that he can return. And that's what we find that David, that Joseph did at this point. Scripture doesn't tell how long he was in Egypt. Tradition says that he was in Egypt 3.5 years. I can't say that for certain. But in 2014, Suzanne and I were blessed to be able to spend time in Egypt. And we spent time with the Coptic Christians in that area. And they have lots of traditions right there about the time that Jesus spent there. They've got a lot of sites marked off where they believe the Holy Family stayed. And it was interesting talking to them and listening to their things. They believe that Jesus, they even have the house where they think that Jesus stayed, the well that was nearby for you to see, and they have it mapped out. And it's an interesting thing. Many people talk about traveling the footsteps of Jesus around Jerusalem, but it was interesting to be in south of Cairo and seeing where the Coptic Christians said Jesus had walked and lived when he was in Egypt. But the interesting thing is, though, is he was willing to stay in Egypt for as long as God wanted him to stay there. God didn't tell him exactly how long. He might have thought, is it days? Is it weeks? Is it months? Is it years? Is it decades? I don't know. But God told me to be here and wait here until he releases me to go back. And that's exactly what Joseph did. That speaks wonders again about his character, that he would trust God that much. Thirdly, the scriptures right here implies that Joseph was shown faithful by his closeness to God. Now, we can see from the scriptures that Joseph is a righteous man. It even says that in the scriptures. We see that he's a faithful man. And we can see also from the scriptures he's a religious man. We can see from a short passage as we go back to Luke here, and Luke's account, and picking up in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 24, it shows two different events that occurs. The first one occurs 8 days after the birth of Jesus, and the second event occurs 40 days after the birth of Jesus. Verse 21 says, when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. The laws of Moses said that when baby boys are born, on the 8th day, they were to be taken before a priest to be circumcised. It says here, Joseph did that as the scripture said he was supposed to do. He followed exactly what he was taught to do by the scriptures. Starting at verse 22, it says, and when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses was finished, that would be the 40th day after the birth for boys, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. What we can see right here is that Joseph is a very religiously devoted man to God. He did exactly as he was instructed to do, following all the rules of the law in the temple, as prescribed, and not varying from them. So he was a very religious man in that regard. But something else we can read from these scriptures right here, although it doesn't say it exactly, but You can see it from it. He was an extremely poor man as well. And you may say, well, how do you know he's poor? Well, if you go back and read Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and you read about that purification ceremony that's to take place for newborn male babies on the 40th day, the scripture says that you're supposed to bring a year-old unblemished lamb as a sacrifice. That's the requirement of the law. But you get down there in the fine print near the very bottom, God made an exception for the poorest of the poor in the society. He says, if it's totally impossible, you're just so poor you can't, I'll make an exception. You can bring two doves instead. Well, what do we see in the scriptures here? What did Joseph bring? Two doves. That implies that Joseph was not a wealthy man. He was poor, penniless. Even if there'd been room in the inn, maybe he couldn't afford it. I don't know. It doesn't say. But he was a poor man. But poverty did not prevent him from faithfully fulfilling the things that God told him to do. You know, we can sometimes make excuses for things. You know, I don't have the resources. I'm not a good speaker. That's me. You know, I don't have the money. I don't have the money to tithe. But that didn't stop Joseph. God said to do it, so he did it, even though he was poor. He fulfilled the requirements. That shows that he has the concerns about doing what God wanted him to do. But that's not the only time we see a picture of Joseph in his dedication to doing what God wanted him to do, in his closeness to God. A little further on, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 again still, starting in verse 41, it says, every year his parents, we're talking about Jesus' parents, meaning Mary and Joseph, they traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Did you catch that? It said every year, not just some years, most years, every year. When he, meaning Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their friends and relatives. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple's complex, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all those who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. And he went with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart. You know, we see here, Joseph was the spiritual head of his family. He made sure that they went to the temple at times they were supposed to go. In fact, he did it faithfully year after year. It implies that every year he did that without fail. He took his standing before God importantly, always trying to obey the laws of God. We see here that he was a concerned parent. Now you might ask that, isn't that a funny thing? Here he was, God gave him the responsibility for raising God's son, and he loses him. But that's not the end of the story. There's extended families, and I can understand they're not in a family reunion, so we've got all these families around. But when he realized that Jesus was not there with him, his first response was not to panic, not to throw up his hands. But he and Mary went backtracked over their steps where they'd been, followed back, and it says they were searching very carefully for Jesus, not just for a few hours, but they searched dedicatedly for 3 days before they finally found Jesus in the temple. That's a concerned parent that didn't give up until they found Jesus. He wasn't going to quit until he found him. That's concern. But you know, we also see his character right there. He was, I believe he was a loving husband, but we know that he was not a demanding husband. He was a very supportive husband. Because you see, when they found Jesus, he allowed Mary to do the talking. Have you noticed that when they got there? Who did the speaking? Mary did. He was willing to stay in the background and stand behind Mary and support her and let her take the forefront as he had done in other occasions in the scripture right there. You know, that That is a husband right there that loves his wife when he allows his wife and doesn't bow, want to take the forefront, but allows the wife to shine. When they did find Jesus and saw him speaking to the church and religious leaders, it says right there they were listening to Jesus respond back and forth to the questions and asking questions, and it said they were in awe of Jesus' responses. Isn't that amazing there? So he is open there to learning even from Jesus, even at that young age. And I think you can assume that Joseph had been a good parent to Jesus during his years living in childhood and teenage years, because it says that Jesus willingly went back with them to Nazareth, didn't have to drag him back, and he said he was obedient to them. You know, that is something right there. That sounds like they had a good, smooth household right there, and that's a wonderful thing. He's a wonderful, loving, caring parent, and that's what we should be. But you know, it all goes back to there is he put God first, and then family second, and himself third. Isn't that the way it should be? I know it's the old, we sing these, at Christmas time we sing the carol about joy to the world. You know, joy I've always taught years ago, I heard, that says Jesus should come first, others come second, and yourself come third. Well, I think you can see from the scriptures, that was the same way that Joseph was. He put God and Jesus first, others second, and himself third. He was willing to be supportive in the background role, doing what he could do, but not striving to be up front and get all the recognition. Fourthly, I think Joseph is shown faithful by his conduct. You know, he leaves behind a great legacy in the Bible, but his legacy leaves behind is not because of all the words he spoke or all the words he wrote, as many other Bible characters have done. His legacy is defined by what really matters, is based upon how he lived and what he did. That people can see things from his life. You know, we see him showing faithfulness to God, faithfulness to others, all through this nativity story. We're not given much other details about Joseph. There's just two brief mentions of Joseph in further on in the scriptures, one verse in Mark and one verse in Matthew. In both of these cases right here are times when Jesus is visiting his hometown of Nazareth, and the people of Nazareth are speaking about Jesus. Looking in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, this one verse right here, the people of Nazareth say, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" You see how they identify Joseph right there? They're talking about Jesus. Isn't Jesus the carpenter's son? Who's the carpenter? Joseph. Joseph was known as the town carpenter. You know, that was his profession. That's what he's known by. He was a blue-collar worker doing carpentry work. He said, isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't Jesus' mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So we can see right here what kind of a profession he had. It was carpentry. We read another instance where the people of Nazareth are talking about Jesus in Mark's account, Mark chapter 6, verse 3. In this one, they say, "Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" Who are they talking about here? They're talking about Jesus. They recognize Jesus when he comes back to his hometown, not as a Messiah, not as the one that's coming to prophet leading. They're remembering him from his 30 years living there. He was a town carpenter when he lived in their city. Isn't this Jesus, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And they were offended. You know, I think we can see right here, is not only was Joseph a carpenter, he took the time to teach his children life skills and even work skills, teach them the skills of carpentry. We don't know a whole lot more about Joseph, just from these scriptures right here. You notice I didn't say, these scriptures doesn't imply that Joseph's around at that time. I think you can imply from these scriptures that Joseph has left the scene. He's probably passed away before this time. We don't know when. The scripture doesn't tell us that, because they refer to Mary and Jesus' siblings, but they don't refer to Joseph anymore. So we can make the assumption that Joseph has probably passed away. probably before Jesus turned 30. In fact, Jesus being as the oldest child in the family, he would have been, by Jewish law, been required to take care of his mother and his siblings until the siblings were old enough to take care of themselves. Maybe why it was that Jesus didn't start his ministry until age 30, waiting for his siblings to grow up. But during that time, how did Jesus support his family? Well, we see from the scriptures in Mark right here, Jesus was a carpenter by trade. Think of the Son of God that created the world. It's now building chairs and furniture. You know, Jesus made the world, and Joseph taught him how to make furniture. You know, it's hard to understand God and what God does. But this is what we see from this right here. We see from Joseph right there. He passed on what skills he knew. He passed on his love of going to church and the temple. He passed on his love of supporting his family. And that we remember him from these particular things. You know, we can learn a lot of lessons from Joseph right here. The people of his day might have thought of him as just an ordinary man. But he wasn't an ordinary man in God's eyes. The Bible says he wasn't wealthy. He never preached to a multitude. You know, he never worked any high-end jobs. He just had a blue-collar carpentry job. You know, he wasn't well-known outside his town. You know, he is a law-abiding citizen of the country. He followed the laws of Moses in the temple. He just kind of blended in. But God still saw things in him that made him the man God chose to be the father, the earthly father of Jesus. Just the same way when God looked at the people of the world and God saw Abraham and he pointed out Abraham and says, I've chosen you to be the father of a new nation. God did the same thing with David. He says, I've chosen you to be the king over Israel. And to Joseph, I've chosen you to be the earthly father of my son Jesus. Special men. Maybe to the world around them at that time, they didn't look special, but then God saw something in them that the world doesn't always see. You know, we can see that some of the qualities in Joseph that we should emulate in our life. He was, first and foremost, by how God called him, a righteous man. That was the number one description of him, righteous man. Faithful to do the things God wanted him to do, including attending worship at the temple, following the God's decrees and laws, concerned for others, open to God's leading and direction. Not wanting to go his own way, but want to do whatever God tells him to do, do it, and do it immediately, do it obediently. Willing to even sacrifice his own reputation and his standing to do something God told him to do that was going to cause the community to look down on him. You know, God saw that and trusted him to be a parent, the most important parent in history. And he was shown faithful in everything he did. You know, we don't read anywhere in the Bible where Joseph did any miracles. He never preached to multitudes. He never had a prestigious position. He never said anything that people thought was important enough to write down and remember. You know, he never had widespread acclaim anywhere other than his hometown. But still, when Joseph arrived in heaven, I believe Jesus met him at the gate and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because he did what he was told to do when he was told to do it. And God uses ordinary people. God can use you and I. You know, God, we don't have to oppress God. God knows the heart, knows what's inside and what we are. So what do we do that? We can learn from there. We can be like Joseph. We don't have to strive to have a starring role. We don't have to have the spotlight and the attention on us. God wants people that are willing to do what he wants them to do. Even if it is a small supporting role, God expects us to do what he tells us and has planned for us to do. You know, we need to have a humble attitude as Joseph had right here. He was willing for others to have all the limelight and just be the supporting person behind the scenes and do what he could do. He had self-control. We need to have that in our life. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit that most of us don't strive for. We look at other ones that look more popular. But self-control is the fruit of the Spirit, and he had that. But most and foremost, his adherence to God's laws and wanting to serve God was an important factor in being the man God wanted to raise his son. You know, we can use those things there. God can do these things. God works behind the scenes. God is the one that told Augustus Caesar to issue the decree for people to go to their ancestral homes to enroll in the census. God did that. But we see from here is Joseph willing to obey government edicts as long as they didn't go against God's rules. You know, we need to do that too. He didn't complain about the government, or at least it's not recorded he ever did. He was a good, honest, law-abiding person. And God saw that, and God even prepared for emergencies. Yes, when he arrived in Bethlehem, he expected to find better accommodations for Mary, but he had to make do with what he had. But God still provided an open stable that he could use. It had to be an available one. God had one ready. God wanted that stable. I think God intended for the stable so that anybody could come and see the baby Jesus, not just the rich people in the towns. He didn't want to be in a prestigious hotel where common people couldn't come in. He wanted Jesus to be there. But not only that, God prepared for other emergencies. When the wise men arrived, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Little did Joseph know, God was already preparing in his life, knowing that he had to obediently obey, providing him with the necessary resources so that he could travel to Egypt. He'd have money to cover his travel expenses and money to take care of him until he could set himself up and work a job doing carpentry work in Egypt to support his family. God had already prepared an emergency fund for him. And we find that we need to be like that, willing to, at a moment's notice when God tells us to do something, to do it. You know, God sometimes calls people to be up in the forefront. In the Bible days, we look at people in the Bible like Elijah and Jeremiah that spoke to the crowds and did great miracles. We see in modern times, we read about the stories of D.L. Moody preaching his great revival meetings and Billy Graham preaching to millions. God didn't call us all to do that. In fact, God has called far more people to be faithful in supporting roles. Every missionary you send out in the field, God calls many more people behind the scenes to be praying for that person and to be supporting them, not only in prayers, but also financially, and make it possible for them to be there. God calls us to different roles. And whatever role God calls us to do, that's what we need to do, and do it willingly. As we see in the life of Joseph, we need to do it not only willingly, we need to do it faithfully. We need to do it obediently. We need to do it completely and do it immediately. We just need to do all these things as he did. So use his example. Jesus told a parable, several parables, but he told one parable of the talents. And this one parable, one servant was given 2 talents to manage while the rich man was gone. Another servant was given 5 talents to manage. And when the Lord came back, he rewarded the servant with the 2 talents, identical to the servant that managed 5 talents. Why? Because he managed his 2 talents just as faithfully and just as wisely as the other servant managed his 5. It doesn't have to do in God's view. It doesn't matter the size of what you're doing. It matters how well you're doing it as God told you to do it. How obediently are you doing it? And that's what we see in life of Joseph. He doesn't stand out as a major figure in the New Testament, but in God's eyes, he did everything faithfully as God wanted him to do it. And we need to be like that. We need to be like Joseph. You know, Joseph might not be physically living in our homes as he did in Joseph's home, but the Bible says Jesus can live in our hearts. In fact, in Ephesians 3:17, Paul's writing to Christians, and he says in Ephesians 3:17, Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. You know, that's important to get Christ dwelling in your hearts. If we want to live like Joseph, we need Christ in our hearts. We need to know the Lord. We need to be Christians. And I don't know, I assume everybody here is Christian, but if not, the Bible tells us how to become one. Paul writes in Romans 10:9-10, he says, if you will confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto salvation, and with the mouth one confesses believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. You know, if you haven't made the Jesus Lord of your life, do it today. You know, there's only one choice in this life that matters. We make lots of choices every day. God gives us free will, but only one choice will matter for eternity, and that choice is, did you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life? When we leave this earth, that's the only choice that's going to matter. It doesn't matter what job you chose to do, what degree you got in college, who you married. What did you do with Jesus? Make the right choice, the wise choice there. Then you can have an assurance of a home in heaven, and you can live like Joseph every day. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, God, that in your scriptures, God, we see people like Joseph, who lived a life, God, maybe not one that got a lot of acclaim in his days, God, but he lived it faithfully, and he lived it willingly and obediently, and he set such a great example for us, God, such an example that of all the people on the earth of that day, God, you picked him out specially. God, I pray that our hearts would be as open as his was, God, that we would be open to your leading, God, and when you tell us to do things, we would do it willingly, immediately, and obediently, and completely, God. Lord, may you just be with each one here. May you bless our evening as we go home. Give us safe travels, God. May you watch over us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you all.